This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Steve Kirk could use a little pick-me-up, Mark.
Well, he is brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices, and presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Steve, thanks for coming on. I don't even know if you would take what we just said kindly, because I know you think there's still a lot of meat on this bone. But that kind of was my first thought last night, was just thankfulness to the whole organization for everything that this has been as it goes into some sort of an evolution. How do you feel about that? What is the next evolution of this?
I don't think we really know. I think a really interesting and difficult season in a lot of ways. But you have to put it in the context of where the league is right now, too. And normally 46 wins is enough to get you in the playoffs. I would say that given the start we got off to, how many games we sort of gave away or lost at the end when we, should have put it away. I mean, this felt like a 50-win team to me. And, it feels to me like we should be down 1-0 in a series right now, not having the season finished, if you know what I mean. It's just it's really kind of surprising to me that it's over, but the nature of the Western Conference right now, it's deep and loaded, and we paid for our sins of the early season, unfortunately, and ended up in the play-in and one and done. It's a tough way to go out.
Is that where your personal lament lies in terms of the, not regrets, but things that you think went awry? Is it all the close games that got away from you early? Is it the Draymond suspension and maybe the injuries that you sustained later in the year? Where do you look to find some solace on what might go right in the future that didn't this year?
Well, a lot of good things happened. Clay really responded well to coming off the bench. Draymond, I thought, his career was on the line 2 months into the season, and the way he played, the way he responded the last few months was incredible. Our young guys really came alive, performed well. And, Steph, despite, not shooting it as well, in the last month or so of the season, he had another all-NBA year. And, you throw it all together, and we actually have a pretty good team. There's some regret on losing some early games that put us behind the eight ball that we kind of paid for later. And when you have those types of games, and you look back on them later in the year, it's that's tough, because you probably could have finished them off, should have finished them off, and we didn't do it.
Steve, it's interesting to hear you talk about the landscape of the West, because I'm driving my 10-year-old son to school this morning, and he looks at me and goes, "Dad, they were just unlucky." And I said, why do you feel that way? And he goes, because 46 wins, he's like, last year that would have been like a 4 or 5 seed. So, like they just got unlucky. What would you have said to him? What word fits for you with regard to that?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I think first of all, your son has a lot of wisdom. So
I didn't say that to him, Steve. I did not say that.
Clearly got it from his mom.
Yep.
No, I just think that, you know, there's some truth to that. I mean, this is the deepest the Western Conference has ever been. You know, the bad news for us, it's only going to get deeper. You know, Houston and San Antonio are going to get better as we go into next year. So I think this, you know, we've got an off season of reflection and transition. But that doesn't mean this thing is over, you know, and that's why, like, I love that you're thankful for what we've done, but that's great, but I still think we can do some stuff and you know, but this off season is going to be different. It's the first time I think that I've really felt, like there needs to be, you know, some change, but I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know that Mike knows yet. What we do have, though, is a lot of evidence and a lot of clarity on this year's team and some of the things we lacked and some of the things we need to improve upon.
You mentioned change, and everybody's curious about Klay Thompson. And you were pretty definitive last night about how much you need and want Klay to still be a part of it. Are you at all nervous about Klay perhaps deciding to take his talents elsewhere?
I'm really not. And of course he has every right to do so. And one of the benefits of being a free agent is just the freedom that comes with it. And it'll be nice for Klay to have some options. And I think that's one of the things that freed him up a little bit at the end of the year. It's just, you know, not having the burden of anything going forward, just, hey, play it out and let's see what happens this summer. And so he's in a good spot in that regard. But I know Klay really well. I know he loves it here. I know how much we all love him. I think he should be a Warrior for life. And I just think that he's still got some good years left in him. And, you know, but what we have to figure out organizationally is what does that look like on the floor? You know, the business stuff will be taken care of. You know, that stuff will be negotiated, all that stuff. But, you know, what does our team look like next year? We have to put the pieces together because I think Klay's a part of it, and I think Draymond and Steph, I think they should be Warriors for life. And that's not just a sentimental thought. We still need all three guys. They're all three still very good players, but it's just different now than it was, you know, 3-4 years ago. So we have to piece together the roster and see how we can improve.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Steve, I don't want you to speak for him, but you've all expressed that you want him back. Has he expressed to you anything about what he wants?
Well, we had our exit meetings today, so I spoke with all the players, and it's so early. You know, it's the shock of the loss and the season being over is still pretty raw. So it just doesn't feel like anybody is ready to, you know, even express any thoughts about what, you know, what comes next. So I encouraged everybody to get away and get some rest and take a vacation and, you know, a little time to think about the season and the future.
You've spent your whole time here with Steph, Klay, and Dre, and it's been an unbelievable run, as Mark was saying at the top of the interview. Have we gotten to a point where having those three as your best three players is no longer good enough in the West?
I think that all three guys are really still excellent players. We know that. I mean, you know, Steph is still an all-star. Draymond, you know, still one of the best defensive players in the league. And Klay, I mean, you guys watched the second half of the season. He was one of the best three-point shooters in the league. The first half, he struggled. But, you know, it's a guy who's still got a beautiful stroke and, you know, 6'7", and size and fearlessness when it counts, when the game's on the line, and that stuff's all necessary. But, you know, we've always had a lot of help for them in the past. We've always had great rosters, great talent here. And so that still remains, but it's even more important now because, you know, they're not as capable of doing it every single night just because of the wear and tear and the age. So we've got to keep improving the roster around them for sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Like when you said last night, we need Clay going forward, the first thought that went through my head was in what role? And that's not in any way meaning to diminish him, but even you, and I mean this for all three, you've talked about too much being on the shoulders of Steph Curry in recent weeks and maybe even in recent years. So how do you view that, Steve, in terms of what their role needs to be going forward if they're all here?
Well, I think we can't expect them to carry us like they have for so long. So we've got to lessen the burden. I think one of the best things that happened this year for Clay and for us was that he responded so well coming off the bench. So, you know, that's definitely an option. And, you know, that will be determined, obviously, next training camp. But, you know, I just think that you know, 82 games is a long haul. And unless you've actually been through it, I think it's hard to really understand how difficult it is emotionally, physically, and especially as you get older. So we definitely need to give these guys more support and more help. And I thought the young guys really emerged this year, and I expect them to be better next year. And, you know, we'll see what we can do with the roster to make some more improvements.
You mentioned effort and commitment being there for the majority of the year, but what specifically were you missing this year that you'll look to address in the off season?
Well, I think we need more shooting. You know, our shooting is really top heavy. It's funny because we've always been known as this 2-point shooting organization, but you know, we've always been kind of top heavy on that front. And if you look around the league, you know, most teams now are putting shooting at almost every spot. And you watched last night the physicality of Sacramento's guards and, you know, the speed getting into the ball, disrupting our offense. The best way to create space is to put shooting all over the floor. And Sacramento was able to put pressure on the ball and protect the paint. And so there was nowhere for Steph to go. He really had to work hard for his points. And so I think we need more shooting. And I think that can come from within too. It can come from, you know, the current players getting better with their shooting and giving us more spacing.
Steve, you know, you've talked this year about math. You've talked about it being a good problem to have. All of the players who deserve rotation minutes. Moses Moody last night, he used the word frustrating when describing the fluctuation of his role. Did you guys reach a point where all of the guys deserving minutes and you trying to figure out the right mix actually became maybe a net negative as opposed to a positive?
No, it never became a net negative. It was frustrating for a lot of guys, but every single one of them responded well and in a very team oriented fashion. And so I think Moses is he was probably the guy who went in and out of the rotation the most. Some of that was just the logjam in front of him, you know, between JK and Wiggs and Clay and Harry Payton. You know, we had a lot of guys who were just in front of Moses. And so it's not easy as a coach, you can't play all those guys. And so Moses took the brunt of that and handled it really well. But he's a guy who needs his opportunity to really, you know, step forward and become an everyday contributor, maybe even a starter. And that, you know, that opportunity, part of that comes from our side, but part of it comes from his side too. Emerging and grasping that role and running with it. you know, like Brandon Podemski did this year. And, you know, and that requires a lot. It requires, you know, attention to detail, and it requires, you know, moving the ball, becoming a connector offensively, keeping things going with the right cut, the right pass. And those are things that most young players struggle with. Brandon has a good feel for it, and that's why he played as much as he did. So, you know, there's a lot of young players are having to work on those things all around the league just because of the lack of experience coming in. And that's what we're trying to teach our young guys here in our program.
Jonathan Kuminga made such great strides this year in offensive acumen and really off-ball defense as well. When you look at his game now, as part of maybe his exit interview today, what are you giving him for homework over the summer so he can be even better next year?
Well, I want him to become a more fundamentally sound passer, and that may not sound like much, but I think he's got pretty good vision. You know, he's a guy who can get the ball in transition, push it ahead, and see the floor pretty well. Like a lot of young players, you know, there can be a carelessness with passing and a kind of a take it for granted type feeling about passing. You might not believe this, but when I was in Chicago with the Bulls, we used to start out practice 15 feet apart with two-hand chest passes back and forth. You know, you see Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen throwing two-hand chest passes back and forth. That's when you realize, okay, fundamentals do matter, you know. And we've had one of the worst transition ratings in the league the last 2 years in terms of points per possession. And some of it is our passing. Our passing has to improve. We've got to be on time, on target. We've got to make the game easier for each other. So for Jonathan, for Moses, for our entire team, I want to see better passing, and those are some of the things we'll be focusing on, you know, this summer.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. This might be a stupid one, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Do you guys need to be taller?
I mean, you know, last night you could see we were overwhelmed physically. They were getting every long rebound, every loose ball. That's where we really missed Gary yesterday. He's a guy who gets a lot of extra possessions for us. There are times, and some of it is, you know, when we're playing our best players, we tend to be on the small side. And so, you know, it's a tough combination when if you're getting beat athletically and with size, you know, you got to be perfect to win games. And so I do think we need to be a little bigger, a little more athletic.
Does this mean that the Chris Paul era is coming to a close? And before you answer that part of it, what did you think about his 1 year with the Dubs and what he brought, especially when you're looking at, you know, $30 million for next year and in a situation where he may not be back?
Well, first of all, I love Chris. He was amazing all year, just the ultimate professional. The way he embraced coming off the bench, and you know, for a guy who's heading for the Hall of Fame, he's one of the all-time great point guards, and he had never come off the bench once in his entire career. So to embrace that, to be a mentor for our younger guys, to generate great chemistry in the locker room, Chris was amazing. And I've said this many times, this was the easiest job I've ever had in the non-Steph minutes. You know, in my 9 years, even when we were winning championships, there was always a feeling of, all right, we got to hang on here, you know, without Steph. And with Chris, it was the exact opposite. It was like, all right, we're going to get 8 minutes, 9 minutes with Steph on the bench. We're going to have a Hall of Fame point guard getting us organized and getting us good shots. What an incredible luxury. Now the issue for Chris, I think he's still a starting point guard in the league. I think he can still play 30 plus minutes and run his own team. And, you know, on this team, on our team, that's just not available. I know he loved it here and we loved having him. And I think we would love to have him back, and I think he'd like to be back, but, you know, there's a financial component, of course, with his salary, non-guaranteed contract, So that means there is financial flexibility, you know, available there. And that's what Mike and Joe in the front office has to determine is, you know, what's our roster going to look like. And, you know, I don't think, I don't think it makes sense to have a massive payroll right now, you know, with our team. It just doesn't, you know, to spend that kind of money, and Joe has been incredibly generous and you know, so aggressive and, you know, really attacking, looking for championships. But at some point, you can't spend this much money for a team that didn't make the playoffs. So we have a lot of decisions to make and a lot of questions to answer. And so, you know, those things are all kind of thrown into the pot, and you have to figure it out.
Steve, that's an interesting one, to say that it doesn't make sense right now to have a huge payroll. I get that you're saying, looking back, it wasn't even a playoff team. But if the goal next year and the belief is there that you can still play at a high level, why does it not make sense to have a big payroll?
I didn't say it doesn't make sense to have a big payroll. I said it doesn't make sense to have a massive payroll.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I think there's a difference. You know, I think Joe is always going to do everything possible to put a good team on the floor. But I think at some point too, there has to be a sense of, you know, what makes sense organizationally. And a $400 million payroll, the highest payroll in the league, and we don't make the playoffs, that's not a good business model, you know. And so the all the questions that are out there really have to do with, you know, what's next, not just this coming year, but in the years beyond. And what does that mean for our team? What kind of transition will there be? Are there moves that we can make to get us into the championship contention conversation? And if there are not, then, you know, what does that mean? Do we lean into our younger guys? And you know, so these are all the discussions that we'll be having this summer.
Steve, it's fascinating to listen to the way things sounded at the end of last year when you guys immediately sort of admitted, yeah, this was not a championship a roster. And then this year, you guys sound very different, and you've admitted that you think you're better this year, and that you love the connectivity of this roster. So that leads me to this question. As you sit here today, how far off from a championship contender do you feel like you guys are?
It would be hard for me sitting here with our season over on April 17th, whatever it is, to tell you that we are a championship contender. That would be, I don't know, let's just say not the brightest comment I could ever make. You know, I mean, you have to prove that. You can't just say you're a contender. You have to prove it. So, you know, right now we're not, but that's why we have an offseason. That's why you talk to other teams. That's why you look at every possibility to build your roster back up. And you're always, every year, I'm always surprised at the deals that happen, not for our team, but for any team. You just don't know. And so you have to go into the summer with an open mind you know, who knows? There might be some deal that Mike and Joe feel like, you know, gets us back into contention. Maybe there isn't. If there's not, then, you know, what are we looking at? What's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish? Again, I mean, these are not easily answered questions. And so there's a long summer ahead of a lot of introspection, a lot of, studying the league and studying our options and figuring things out.
And you've got a busy summer yourself, heading to Paris with Team USA at some point. But before then, and maybe during that time and after, how much input will you offer, or will you be asked to offer about that very thing in terms of getting this team back to championship caliber?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Mike already. We had a long conversation today about, you know, about this summer and what's next. And I'm sure Joe and Mike and I will be connecting probably next week sometime. You know, we get together at the end of every off season, and these discussions will begin. You know, we have a format with the Warriors where, you know, I'm not in charge of personnel, and I don't want to be. I don't think it's a great format to have coach in charge of personnel. So I have influence, but these are Mike's decisions. These are Joe's decisions, you know, the front office together, but they will definitely ask for my input.
Steve Kerr with us, 95.7 The Game. Coach, this is not going to surprise you. I know you know. On our station, we have sat here and talked to listener after listener about Draymond Green and the experience that, especially a year, like you said a few minutes ago, you thought a couple of minutes ago that his career was on the line. You also mentioned that you thought this was a 50-win team. What would you say to fans that are so frustrated? Because he said at the beginning of the year, this is the most important season of his career. You guys maybe just needed 3, 4, 5 more wins to have a very different outlook. And then what happened in December and January happened. What would you say to fans that are just, they don't know how to reason with that?
Well, I think life's not easy. You know, it's none of us are perfect. Everybody's flawed. And what I will tell you about Draymond is he's maybe the most competitive person I've ever been around, maybe the most loyal. I will stick with him forever because I know who he is as a human being. And he's very complex. And part of that complexity is his constant quest to find the right balance between being ultra competitive and you know, walking the line and not crossing it. And he crossed it, you know, over the last year. He crossed it several times, and if he could have it back, you better believe he would want to have it back and do it. But life doesn't work that way. And so, you know, everyone was upset when he got flipped out of the game in Orlando. That didn't even bother me. Like, Draymond is so competitive and so emotional. I'm fine if he gets tossed a few times a year because that's the price you pay for having the guy who is the driver of your defense, the driver of your competitive fire as a team. Without Draymond, we have zero championships. I hope people realize that. But with Draymond, you've got a complex human being who is incredibly strong and loyal and emotional and competitive and also can go too far. And so that package is what we've had here for 12 years, and it's been incredible. And he's made mistakes, and he's had to pay for them, and he's constantly trying to find that balance, and that's who he is. And that's one of the things I love about him. But so for our fans, I would say be lucky, be fortunate, be grateful that you've had Draymond Green for 12 years and you have 4 championships and 2 finals appearances beyond that. And Draymond is fighting to be the best version of himself now. And you know, I'm embracing it. I think our whole organization is embracing it because we love him. And I think our fans do too.
You're right, Steve, but I do think that there's a fan sentiment of frustration, and the Orlando game kind of crystallizes that, where he's ejected in the opening minutes of a game that it felt like was an important one. Do you have any concern about his career going forward and the frustration level building as his skills diminish?
I had a lot of concerns during the suspension, you know, after the Nurkic incident, after the Gobert incident. I had a lot of concerns because those were acts that were going to lead him to being, you know, basically to his career ending, you know. And I think the suspension was probably the best thing that happened to Draymond because it forced him to reckon with his behavior and the difference between getting kicked out of a game and actually physically attacking someone. So that's why I'm saying, you know, we've been together for 10 years. He's been kicked out of tons of games. That never bothered me. The other stuff, bothered me and bothered a lot of people. And so he found his way through the second half of the season to be the best version of himself. He got kicked out of a game, yeah, but he also turned our defense around. And if you're a fan and you want everything, you want him to be the best defender in the league and be on perfect behavior, you're not going to get it.
Fair enough. Steve, you entered into the conversation with us talking about thankfulness for the last 12 years. I'd like to express some thankfulness for the time that you've taken with us this year, the answers that you've given, the inside look that you've provided to yourself and to Warrior Basketball. We've very, very much enjoyed it. So thank you for coming on as you did every week. Thank you for the half hour you just spent with us today.
Thank you guys for a great year. You know, I've enjoyed coming on with you every week, and we're so lucky to play here in the Bay with incredible fans and so much interest in our team. And so I want to say thanks to you guys for a great show and to all of our fans out there for supporting us year after year. I'm lucky to be here.
Thank you, Steve. Well said. And on behalf of the fans thinking about the Olympics, feel free to keep Steph on the bench and give the chef some rest if you could.
All right, we'll see about that. We kind of want to win a gold medal.
Yeah, there is that.
Okay. Oh, that too. That too.
Okay.
All right, Coach. Thank you.
Okay. See you guys.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. There he is. Steve Kerr. On Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game.
What's French for load management? I'm going to look it up.
Load management.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible. I mean.
It's two. Yeah. I like it. It's a duh. It works. That's
stupid and predictable.
Thank you for thanking Steve on behalf of, at least our staff and our show, because he's a good interview.
He's the best.
He gives you good, solid, forthright answers, and you never feel rushed. He's going to sit here and answer our questions, and I appreciate that.
That was an interesting conversation, I thought.
In many ways.
There was a lot in there.
Yep.
There's a lot in there. I mean, from him saying it doesn't make sense to have a massive payroll, from him saying they're going to make every effort to become a championship contender, but the deal might not be there, so you might have to lean into the young players. He absolutely freely admitted that Steph, Clay, and Dre's roles need to be diminished. They need a higher level of help around them. I know that some of you caught this. We did too. And look, I think what he's saying there about Draymond Green, that is the Draymond Green experience. If you're going to work with the guy, if you're going to have him as a key piece to what you're doing, the bottom line is I think there's going to be a time or two where you talk out of both sides of your mouth. And so I know some of you caught the fact that he said, I will totally ride or die with Draymond Green, and it didn't bother me when he got thrown out of Orlando, yet it was the very next day that he came on this show and called it unforgivable.
Mm.
So was it unforgivable, or did it not bother you? But that, I reason with that by saying what he just said. That's the Draymond Green experience. You are not going to get a perfect person. You are going to have to ride the wave, and the Warriors, and I get this. You can call it making excuses if you want, but if you're trying to win, you're going to have to put up with some crap. And that's the decision that they've made. I personally think they're right on that.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with a bunch of migraine headaches. Some of you have decided it's not worth it, and I get that. They think they're a better basketball team with him. I think they're still right. I think they're still right. But freely acknowledge that, yeah, sometimes it's a pain in the rear.
Especially as the skills diminish, and that's why I wanted to ask him about the frustration level and his concern going forward, because as the skills diminish and the frustration level maybe goes up, would more of these incidents pop up? And he gave a good answer. I also think, based on his answers about Moses Moody, that they're going to trade Moses Moody. They're going to move off of Moses Moody, because Steve talked about Moses needing an opportunity. Moses needs a chance to go out and play. He needs the opportunity to play and get better And I wasn't sensing from Steve that that opportunity was going to be here.
Well, although he also at one point did talk about Kuminga and Moody getting more run if Clay and Steph and Dre's role kind of diminishes, but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Is Moses Moody available in trade talks? Yes.
And Andrew Wiggins, similarly, based on the answer he
absolutely
gave.
And Chris Paul is gone.
Yeah, Chris Paul's gone.
Gone.
He used only past tense yes. phrases.
Yes, and he said, we'd love to have him, and he wants to stay, but there was immediately a but, and it's a big one. It's a $30 million but.
Right.
I mean, when you get the head coach, like, we're not 24 hours after the end of the season, and how many times did he talk about the payroll and the financial aspect of mm-hmm. this? Like, no less than five times.
And you followed up wonderfully, and he actually semantics you. He hit you with the semantics. I didn't say it wouldn't be big.
We could have a big
it
payroll.
It just wouldn't just be huge. Massive.
We
yeah.
could have a massive
so
payroll.
Funny.
Which is true.
Captain and semantics. I love it. Score one for the thesaurus.
That's why I think that option A is what option A is. Option A is Andrew Wiggins and Moses Moody and maybe another piece somewhere on the team packaged with picks to see if there's a player or two that changes the calculus of this team.
Yeah.
That's option one. They don't know if they're going to be able to get it done. They're going to try.
Yeah.
But I thought, my God, for a guy that just scored a two-year extension, he admitted that, like, we might not be a championship contender next year. We might not even, like, we may see that the deal's not there, and we sort of, yeah, we go youth. That might happen.
You might not have another choice.
That's quite right, but that's quite an admission when you're the coach of Steph Curry.
Yeah.
That's an admission.
Well, it's not a rebuild. It's just the reality of, you know, if there's not a deal out there and you have to come back with everybody except Chris Paul and maybe Kevon or who knows who else, then mm-hmm. you may not have another choice but to, quote, run it back.
Okay. What stood out to all of you from the conversation you just heard? We got time for some calls on the way out. 888-957-9570. And by the way, it's not the way out, because as soon as we leave, Mark Grandy's going to hop in here. And Grandy, what are you going to be starting with at 6 o'clock?
Maybe what you guys just heard. Okay. Maybe Steve Kerr.
A little bit of Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is around the corner. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibbs on the free Odyssey app, because you know, our jobs get more secure when you do. That's not what the read says. while you're there, check out the other shows, and we like their job security as well. Say hi to Steiny and Goo and the Morning Roast and all of their wonderful content, especially on a day like today, reacting to the end of the Warriors season. So Willard and Dibbs, free Odyssey app. And by the way, QR code, you can get that app on our Twitch and YouTube feeds right there in the bottom right-hand corner. More of your calls next on Willard and Dibbs.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Oh,
personally, I don't think it makes sense to have a massive payroll right now with our team. It just doesn't. You know, to spend that kind of money, and Joe has been incredibly generous and so aggressive and really attacking, looking for championships. But at some point, you can't spend this much money for a team that didn't make the playoffs. So we have a lot of decisions to make and a lot of questions to answer. So those things are all kind of thrown into the pot, and you have to figure it out.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I tell you what, that was, I thought that was an interesting conversation. And when he says that sentence, I do think that everybody who wants to form any sort of a Warriors opinion for the next few months, let that sink in, okay? Let that sink in. They didn't make the playoffs. We have sat here for the better part of 6 months talking about going on a run, some even believing to the point of championship contention for a team that in the NBA didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
That's a new one.
And they weren't even really close to making the playoffs.
As it turns out,
you had to win two games in the play-in just to make the playoffs. And in the first play-in game, you got blown out. So you didn't even make it like where Sacramento is.
Got blown out by a wounded team.
Right. In a place where you had good muscle memory and against a team, even when they were fully whole, you were better than for the majority of the time.
I thought there was honesty in some of what Steve was saying there. And again, I'm just going to read between the lines. These aren't quotes. He didn't directly say these things. But when you really just break down what he said, it is, yes, this will be a new offseason. Some change is needed. And that was a direct quote. Some change is needed. He freely admitted that the responsibility level of Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson is too high. We asked him directly about Klay. He said it was great that Klay did a good job coming off of the bench this year. That is an option next year. He's saying that the day after the season. How does that help negotiations? I don't know. Does it hurt him? I don't know. I have no idea what Klay, that's one thing we don't know, is what Klay wants. What a Klay wants. We have no idea what's making him tick. Is it money, respect, a new role, staying with Steph and Dre? I have no idea. So that's really interesting. But their responsibility level has to go down. And then what you also just heard about payroll, like, there's no reason to hide it anymore. Joe Lacob has said it a bunch of times, and I think people have reached a point of not really believing him. They're like, yeah, that's Joe. He always says, he's kind of like your parents at Christmas. We're saving this year. We've had enough. No, there'll be 20 presents under the tree.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's Joe, and now I think others are going to pick up the torch and run with it because, yes, that is actually a priority. You're going to spend less. For God's sakes, you're the 10 seed.
Right. It was $380 million. It was a record payroll, the most in history of the association, and you got a 10 seed. So to expect him to go ahead and rack up another $380 million worth of contract debt is foolish to even think that they would do that. So easy to just to take off Chris Paul's $30 million off the books. Klay goes from 42. Maybe it gets cut in about half.
Yep.
So there's a $50 million savings, and Kevon's eight maybe comes off, and you start to pick off little pieces, and you figure out how you can get new players in and spend even less than you did this year.
What's Moses make?
Moses is making five next year, I believe.
And GP2 can opt into a nine.
9.1.
And Andrew's a 26.
0.2, yeah, 0.3, basically. All right,
so add those up for me. 26,
Andrew's 26, GP is 9, that's 35.
So you're at, yeah.
35, and you throw in Moses, who'll be making...
So you're at 40.
6, 41, basically. 41.
Hang on, let me look at something real quick here.
So if you're looking at...
And by the way, here's something I should know this, and I don't. What is the value, and this is if Bobby Marks, who I think he is coming on tomorrow.
Good.
What's the value of a draft pick in the whole salary matching thing?
depends on the pick. It's all slotted.
Okay.
So it depends on where you're drafted. Like Kuminga at 7, he's making, next year he'll make 7.636.
Okay.
Moody at 14 in the same draft is making 5.8 next year. And if I went back to the history of their salaries, it's all slotted based on where you're picked.
Wiggins, Payton, Moody, and two picks for John Collins, Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I feel good about it.
I mean,
how
I can't
do they feel
I can't
about
believe
it?
That 20 hours after the game, I'm sitting here with trade proposals. But I don't mean that that is something that could or would happen.
No, but Steve basically said it in that interview that big changes are coming.
That's the exploration I think that will be underway. That's the kind of thing that financially is possible, where you would bring in somebody who really would change the structure of how the ball moves and who's got responsibility on their shoulders, people who have not had their 30th birthday yet. You know, Collins and Markkanen are both 26.
Wow.
And Collins is making, you know, more money than they would like him to make. And Markkanen is going to be due for a big old payday soon, and Utah probably doesn't want to pay it. So that would clear a truckload of money off of their books and turn it into a young asset plus two picks. And sure, there's Wiggins. That's still got some money on the bone, but it's not crazy. Same for GP2, who is a player that travels. It's one more year, and you can fit a player that plays defense like that onto any roster. So when we go, hey, how could they even do it? I'm not saying that's perfect. I'm not saying Utah would love that, but I don't know.
I don't know if the Warriors would love it, because Markkanen would be expiring, and you're probably not going to be able to afford to give him what he's going to be commanding if he continues to play like he has.
I don't know.
He's a max player, darn near it.
I don't know.
Average about 24 a game this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it becomes maybe a rental if you make that move, but depends on how aggressive you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a deal breaker. I'm just saying that would be the downside of giving up two picks and three players.
But is it a downside? You also could look at it as the flexibility of, let's see if this works. And if it doesn't, well, then you can just wiggle right out of it. It is what they did with Chris Paul this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing I want to ask Bobby tomorrow is, what's the sign and trade ability based on his contract terms? I know his contract's a little bit different. It's not fully guaranteed, but I think back to how they even got Wiggins in the first place. It was because KD did a sign and trade, and then you were able to trade Russell for Wiggins. It was all precipitated by a sign and trade. So might you be able to have him opt in and trade Chris Paul if a team would be willing to take on his 30?
I think you're allowed to, but again, you do have to attach a pick to it.
Right.
So it's not just salary for salary. You'd have to attach a pick to Chris Paul to move him. So that is a consideration.
It's a consideration.
You know what that is?
Yeah. It's a consideration sensation, Mark, is what that is.
Ka-ching!
One more time. All right. Did you miss any of Steve Kerr? He said a lot. And Grandy is going to bring a lot of that to you in the best of the game. A full hour of today's best content, hosted by our own Grandy Man, coming up here in just a moment. And it is all brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Great engagement today. Thank you all for the calls and the YouTube and the tweets and the Twitch and the everything. We'll keep doing it. Bobby Marks joins us tomorrow, and we'll start looking at what's possible for these Dubs. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I do, yeah.
Okay. All right. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.